listening to Get Sports Radio.
Number 34 of the Get Sports Info Podcast. I am Dan Klaskins. Happy to be with you here and doing another edition of our Monday Night Quarterback. It's week number 8, turning the page back at the week that was in fantasy football. We've officially reached the halfway point here, and lots of good things to get to over the next 15 to 20 minutes we're going to spend with you. As always, you can subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Get it anytime, getsportsinfo.com. You can find me on Twitter, at Dan Klaskins, on Saturday mornings on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, hosting Fantastics Insider Football, my articles and rankings exclusively at Pro Football Focus, and of course, the home of the podcast, GetSportsInfo.com. And as we get into today's episode, on the verge of Halloween, it is Monday night, October the 30th. Monday Night Football has just gotten underway. We are looming on the NFL trading deadline, a pair of deals going down already as I was preparing for the podcast. We're going to talk about those today. We're going to look at the injuries, at least some of them, coming out of the week, heading into next week. Hand out some game balls along with our Week 8 game you sock. Which player disappointed you the most? And on top of all that, we're going to take an early look at the waiver wire, tell you who to target in Week 9 at every single position. So you want to stick around and get that advice as well. But let's start with this NFL trading deadline news. And a couple deals already happening. The NFL deadline coming up here tomorrow. And the big one for it, right as I was literally preparing the outline here, the 49ers acquiring quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo from the Patriots in an exchange for a 2018 second-round pick. And this move is a big surprise, mainly because of the timing of it. Garoppolo, a highly sought quarterback early on during the offseason, leading up to during the draft of last year. Cleveland Browns did everything they could to try to get a piece of Garoppolo. And now, here he is, traded at the deadline. Good move for the 49ers. They're already playing for nothing here. And, I mean, C.J. Beathard, he has been a disaster in his two starts. Brian Hoyer, he is what he is. And I think that this is pretty much the future is now here in San Francisco. It might take him a couple weeks to get going, but I definitely think that this is a guy we're going to see sooner rather than later. Right now, we're going on to week 9. I'd be shocked if by week 12 he wasn't under center and starting here for the 49ers. What do they have got to lose? It's learn on the job, and you would have to think this is a boost for the rest of these pieces in this offense because Beathard definitely was a guy that was dragging them down, and especially Carlos Hyde. I mean, they were playing in close games at least with Brian Hoyer. The game flow has not been there to help the running backs here, so I think Hyde gets a boost, assuming he's not dealt before the deadline. Who knows the way this is going to go, but we will see. It is interesting, and a move indeed there. Like I said, the Patriots now trading two quarterbacks in the past couple months. They first sent Jacoby Brissett to Indy, now Garoppolo to San Francisco. I think that gives you every indicator that Tom Brady's the guy. He's certainly not retiring, but it does leave me a little questioning. Why do they trade him now? I mean, don't you think, obviously the franchise tag would have had to come at season's end, I believe. But at the end of the day, they could have got him done at the early in the season, had their pick. The 49ers definitely looking like they're going to have an early second-round pick, so we'll see. Very interesting indeed, and a move we'll have to keep our eyes on. The other move coming out here this evening, just as we were getting ready to start the podcast, was the fact that the Seahawks have acquired a desperately needed offensive lineman, getting holdout left tackle Dwayne Brown from the Texans in exchange for cornerback Jeremy Lane, the corner, a 2018 fifth-round pick. They also will get the fifth-round pick there, and a second-round pick in 2019. So interesting, these two teams just met on Sunday, but this is a big move here. Brown, the Texans have been playing without him and doing just fine. So it's going to be interesting. See if anything can get done here. It's certainly an upgrade and one desperately needed for Russell Wilson. It does make me wonder, does this breathe life into this desperate running situation? These running backs have just been brutal up there in Seattle behind this offensive line. And it's interesting, if you look at Texans rushing back, rushing left the last 2 years, with Dwayne Brown, 5.5 yards a carry, without him, 4.43 yards a carry. He's definitely going to make an impact, and I think we'll see that pretty quickly. He is 32. He has signed through 2018, so he's definitely a guy that's going to be a more of a short-term fix here, but one that the contending Seahawks desperately needed to do. So outside of that, we're going to keep our eyes on any other developing situations. There's been a lot of rumors floating around. Teams are calling about Frank Gore. He's 34. The Colts are reportedly said they'd be open to trading T.Y. Hilton. So it looks like Indianapolis completely ready to hit the rebuild button there as well. And why not? A lot of teams could be making moves here. Will Martavis Bryant get dealt? We saw Juju Smith-Schuster blow up for a big night. 7 catches on 10 targets, 193 yards, including that touchdown there. And when asked about it today, after the game, I should say, what about Martavis Bryant's role moving forward? Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin, pretty non-committal there. Of course, he was inactive on Sunday night. And Tomlin said, we'll ask if he would be confident Bryant would contribute down the stretch. He said, I'm not. We'll see. So will he be there? Tuesday's trade deadline, we'll know. But as a Steeler, it's looking pretty bleak there for Martavis Bryant and Juju Smith-Schuster, a guy to do. To definitely be targeted, and we'll talk more about him in a second. But the trade deadline, not as interesting in football as it is in Major League Baseball, but these moves at least give us something to talk about. And also brings up the question, do you have a trade deadline in your league? If not, you probably should. We usually try to make it a couple weeks before the regular season's out. Week 10, week 11 is always a good one. You definitely need one if you're in a dynasty league or a heavy keeper league. But I highly recommend having a trade deadline just to those teams that are out of it. If you're out of it, if you're already eliminated pretty much in your league, what do you got to trade for in a redraft league, right? So by having a trade deadline, having a little earlier there, you prevent against a lot of potential collusion and stuff later. I'd like to hear your take on trade deadlines and how your league does. If you want to share that with me, do so on Twitter at Dan Klaskins. And now is the time to make some fantasy trades. So if your league does allow trade deadline or not, this is week 9. If you haven't made any trades yet to try to improve your team, with bye weeks winding down, got 6 more teams on a bye this week, 4 more each of the next 2 weeks. So that's only 14 of the 16 teams with bye weeks left. More than half the teams have already had their bye. So now's the time where it actually starts to make sense to be making that trade. Earlier tonight, I wrapped up my article that we'll post tomorrow. Every Tuesday and Wednesday, you can get my work at Pro Football Focus and my rising up, sliding down, a look at the players and the performances going out there. A couple of highlights here, interesting. One I dug up with talking about Juju Smith-Schuster. And I mean, let's face it. I mean, Darius Slay covered Antonio Brown on 77% of his routes. He held him to just 1 catch for 9 yards on 4 targets in the process. And that left Schuster just to gobble up the target share, 33.3%, as I said, 10 targets. Don't expect double-digit targets each week. He'll clearly get a big boost if Bryant's out. But even if not, I think this first-year wideout continues to show what he's capable of. He's a fringe wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4, a serious upside, and a must-own in all formats. He's a guy I have rising up in my article. A guy I have sliding down. How about Drew Brees, the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints? And, I mean, the Saints, they dropped 2 games to start the season. 0-2. Since then, 5 straight wins. And they're doing it by running the football and playing great defense. Not the way we're used to seeing it from this team. And the result of that has led to some pretty modest numbers for Brees. In Week 8's victory at home over the Bears, he failed to get 300 yards or throw a touchdown. That's pretty remarkable. It doesn't seem that significant. But the last time that he failed to throw 300 yards or a touchdown at the Superdome, you have to go back to Week 4 of 2009 against the Jets. So it was pretty remarkable. And, Sunday was also just the second time this season where Brees had fewer than 30 attempts. Second time already this season, he's had fewer than 30 attempts. That only happened twice in 2015 and 16 combined. So the Saints, they passed 56.54% of the time this year. That's 24th in the league, or excuse me, 20th among 32 teams in the league. Last year, they were the fifth most passing plays at 63.44%. So a lot different, a lot has changed in the 2 years. And I definitely think this is one of those cases where we're going to want to keep our eyes on that. But Drew Brees, still QB1, safe and steady option there. Just not a guy that I think is going to be a QB1, 2, or 3. You know, top of the order there, QB, based off of what we're seeing from this team right now. So you want to check out the complete article. You can do so on Tuesdays. I also got a Wednesday feature at Pro Football Focus. And my rankings there, too, is part of the PFF Edge and Elite packages. Let's get into the injury report. I'm not going to hit on a ton of them, just a few key notes. And let's start with Jameis Winston. And, you know, it looked like he had shook off the injuries a week ago. But on Monday, Bucs coach Dirk Cutter was noncommittal about Winston and his availability for Week 9 due to this shoulder against the Saints. Cutter admitted he considered pulling Winston out of Sunday's loss after a hit. He went ahead and finished it, but let's remember he's playing with the AC joint sprain and his right throwing shoulder, and nothing will be decided until Wednesday based on what the medical staff says and how Jameis feels. But this is a situation owners are going to want to track. Ryan Fitzpatrick would get the start if Winston were to sit. Leonard Fournette, he practiced in Monday's limited work with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not surprising. He was close to going before the bye against the Colts, and looks like he will return against the Bengals in Week 9, barring any setbacks, as will Devontae Parker, the Dolphins receiver. At least according to the Miami Herald's Armando Sorgero, he did say that Parker is expected to suit up in Week 9 against the Raiders. Meanwhile, Emmanuel Sanders, he did not suit up for Monday night's game. Actually, he warmed up but decided he wasn't going to play, dealing with that ankle issue. He was pretty close this week. Perhaps he can get in the mix on next week. Another player we're watching on the injury report is Jordan Reed. Not looking good there. An injured hamstring forced him from Week 8's loss to the Cowboys. And now it looks like he's unlikely to play this week, at least not very optimistic at this point, based off comments made earlier today by head coach Jay Gruden. Charles Clay is making some progress in his return from a knee injury, which is a promising sign. However, it doesn't look like he's going to get on the field in time for Thursday night's matchup. The Bills playing Thursday night against the Jets, so looks like one more week, but if you got an extra spot, you're hurting at tight end, might not be a time to grab him early. I think he's going to have a big role down the stretch. Zach Miller, what a gruesome injury. It looks like they saved his leg. That's the good news. They had to do an urgent vascular surgery on Sunday night to repair artery damage in his dislocated knee. A gruesome injury. I was watching it live, and it basically was a brutal injury. It was on a touchdown play there. It went to the ground. He had a defender right on top of him, and as he went to the ground, the ball actually hit. They ruled it a touchdown initially, and as Miller winced in pain, they carted him off, they took away the touchdown. They had to settle for the field goal. His season is definitely over. It looks like potentially his career, but the good news is his leg appears to be safe, so let's keep him in our thoughts and prayers. Let's look at our game balls. Week number 8. Who's getting game balls? Well, man, how can we not give one to Deshaun Watson? Let's give one to him and Russell Wilson. The two quarterbacks going toe-to-toe in one of the most exciting games of the season. Both throw for over 400 yards. Both throw for 4 touchdowns. Watson had 67 yards rushing to Wilson's 30. Wilson passed for 50 more yards and was picked off 2 less times. Deshaun Watson became the first player, not just rookie, but the first player in NFL history to throw for 4 touchdowns and over 400 yards and have over 50 yards rushing in a game. And Deshaun Watson is putting up numbers that fantasy circles haven't seen in a first season since Kurt Warner in 1999. He is matchup proof at this point. The guy is golden and probably the most coveted fantasy quarterback to have out there in your league. At this point, I actually have a league. I picked up Watts. I drafted him in a couple spots. I liked him early, but backed off of him because of Tom Savage's arrival. But I actually have a league where I have him and Brady, and I'm getting ready to trade Tom Brady because I got Deshaun Watson. We'll see if I can get something for him. But at the end of the day, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, they're getting our Week 8 game balls at the quarterback position. Ezekiel Elliott, we're waiting for news, and it could break at any time about his where he's at. I'm going to leave it off the podcast here, but you want to stay tuned to that for sure. But he continues to rack it up. Another game ball this week on two touchdowns. The only running back to run for two touchdowns in Week 8. He added 150 yards on the ground on 33 carries. Let's go ahead and give a game ball out to LeSean McCoy as well. After scoring his first touchdown a week ago, he added another one here. Looking pretty impressive, too. 151 yards on 27 carries. Reeled in 6 of his 7 targets for 22 yards. Our game balls at the wide receiver position. We're going to give one to DeAndre Hopkins. Why not? 224 yards, a touchdown, and 8 catches on his 11 targets. And how about Paul Richardson in that game as well? 6 catches, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. A pair of touchdowns for William Fuller. We'll keep the game balls in that game. 5 for 125. All he does, it seems, is catches touchdowns. Our tight end game ball of the week, Jack Doyle. Number one tight end in the league. 14 targets, 12 catches, 121 yards, and a touchdown. Big day for him. Jimmy Graham had 2 touchdowns, gets a game ball as well. The game you suck. What is the player that disappointed you the most? So many to choose from, as there is every week. And, you know, it could have been a lot of guys on some of my teams, I'll tell you that. But I try to leave the bias out of it instead. Look at the players that just didn't live up to the hype. And we're going to go to the quarterback position this week. And we are going to look no further than Cam Newton. Cam, you're getting the game you suck. Once again, rolled you out in DFS lineups. I'll tell you, man, you want to know what the secret is to knowing if Cam Newton's going to get it done or not? Know if I'm on him. If I'm on him, he sucks. If I'm off of him, he's great. I'm telling you, I'm the jinx. But either way, I'm done being burned by him. 18 of 32 through the air, just 154 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He did run for 44 yards, which got him out of the bottom 20, past the 20 rank. But, you know, Cam Newton, again, just 16 fantasy points. That is the fifth time in 8 games where he's had 17 or less fantasy points in a game. The other 3 games, at New England, at Detroit, Philadelphia, blew up. The other 4, pretty pathetic. So I'm sick of giving you a game you suck, Cam, but you get one here again this week. Let's wrap up with a look at the waiver wire, and it's that time of the season where it gets a little thin. But let's look at some names and let's talk about them now. We'll start with the quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously a name you're probably going to want to pick up in a deeper league. Might take a couple weeks, but the future is now. He'll start sooner rather than later in San Francisco. Jacoby Brissett, it's been a pretty difficult season. Just 5 passing touchdowns, but he's shown himself to be capable. He's got some AFC South teams ahead, and I think that's going to lead to some shootouts. So could be a grab there. Outside of that, not really feeling it too much. Not going after Brett Hundley or Drew Stanton or Trevor Siemian or any other garbage out there. If you really need to go to the waiver wire, you might want to take a look at Case Keenum because he continues to get it done. He's on a week 9 bye, and Teddy Bridgewater could be looming. But I think Keenum keeps the job longer than we think. Alex Collins, if he's still out there, probably not, but in some shallower leagues he is. He's a good waiver wire option. Did a lot of damage Thursday night against the Dolphins. I also like Rex Burkhead. Season high, 26 offensive snaps this week. Caught all 7 of his targets. 7 catches, 68 yards, another 15 yards on the ground. It is a 3-headed monster, actually 4-headed monster now with Burkhead, but I think he's going to be useful enough to own, at least in PPR leagues, as a bye week filler, and if an injury happens, he could emerge. Wide receivers, how about Paul Richardson and Tyler Lockett? I mean, Richardson is still owned in more leagues than Lockett, both busted over 100 yards, and the way Russell Wilson's going, I think both could be useful. A tight end we talked about, if he's out there, you might want to stash him. Could be another week or so before we see him back. But Charles Clay, definitely on the rise and a guy to take a look at. Other options out there at the receiver position. Robbie Anderson continuing to get it done. Obviously, we talked about Jack Doyle. I think at tight end, you can look at him. And I'm still keeping my eyes on Deontay Thompson. I know he sort of came back to earth last week, but in deeper leagues, I think some good things are still ahead there as that Buffalo offense continues to roll. They have a pretty easy schedule in the coming weeks, so we'll want to keep a look at it. That's all the time I have for now. Be sure to tune in every Monday night so you can get the Monday Night Quarterback podcast. I do the Friday Fantasy Happy Hour for you as well, coming your way on Friday afternoons with our lineup advice, give you the players we like, the ones we don't, catch up on all the injuries there. As I mentioned, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and the SoundCloud. Find the podcast anytime at GetSportsInfo.com. It's also a blog there. You can get our free rankings, our studs, duds, and sleepers, my office pool picks, and so much more. And, of course, be sure to tune in to SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 210, XM 87, as I host Fantastics Insider Football. Hit me up on Twitter, at Dan Klaskins, and definitely you'll want to tune in next time. Until then, thank you for listening to this edition of the Get Sports Info Podcast.